on the world.
Hey guys, welcome in. I'm Cameron Tracewell. This is Hunter Schrader. Welcome to another edition of The Countdown here on YouTube. This is a sports show. We cover pretty much all topics of sports. It goes to tennis, to golf, to NBA, to NHL, NFL, college football, you know, everything pretty much if you're new to this channel. But, well, today, honestly, we don't have, like, too much to cover. I mean, we still have the NHL kind of running right now. Connor McDavid making a comeback, but what is our biggest story? The Boston Celtics hang their 18th banner. 18 banners, man. 18 banners. The most in NBA history, the most by any franchise in the NBA. One of the most historic franchises. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They finally win another chip after 16 years. So, looking at it, in all honesty, good for them. The Boston Celtics, incredible historic organization. Jason Tatum had incredible series, 31, averaged 30 and 10. The only Boston Celtics player to ever do that in the NBA Finals, to average 30 and 10 in a series. It's almost debatable that he probably could have won Finals MVP, but Jaylen Brown just had the edge and one more game over him. And so that's what got it to him. What do you think about the Boston Celtics, man, winning this? What's your take?
Oh, I'm not surprised. I mean, I told you I was rooting for Dallas, but I'm like, Boston's going to win. Dallas didn't match up well. Dallas did not. Kyrie was a no-show. Kyrie did not play well throughout the series.
They got his number, man. They got his number.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown won him be a Finals MVP because not only did he play on offense, but he showed up defensively. Jaylen Brown's the best player on the Boston Celtics. I've said this time and time again. And with an NBA Finals MVP award, I think that stands out more. I mean, don't get me wrong, Tatum did average 30 and 10, but, you know, Brown's the all-around better player, so that's why I say Jaylen Brown is better than Tatum. But Boston had an easy road. There's no doubt about that. There's no debate. But, I mean, is this a shock? No. Luka basically was in a 1v5 almost the whole series. It was Luka versus Boston. And don't get me wrong, game four was the best game Dallas had, but that took it out of them. Because game five, they were gassed. They were done. So Dallas didn't get swept, so that's a plus. But Boston dominant, I mean, no shock, no surprise. And it's over. Another crappy NBA Finals, just like last year. It reminded me a lot of Denver and Miami last year. And that's basically it, man. I mean, there ain't much really to say or talk about, really.
This Finals, I think I will agree. It was terrible. It was not. It was just like the Miami Denver series last year. However, I look at it from Dallas's point of view, and exactly, the Mavericks were number one. They were outmatched. Okay, but there is a lot of things that happened that bother me. One was Kyrie Irving pretty much getting dismissed the entire time. He was a no-show for three games out of four of the series. He was no-show. At least in Boston, he was a no-show at all. Luka kind of costed game three. I blame solely on Luka for game three. I think Luka cost them game three. And yes, they would have won game four, but if they could have captured game three and had game four, game five could have been a different scenario back in Boston for them. I just think that in that regard, Luka going out, you know, fouling out with 4 minutes left in the game, just and letting Boston, you know, Boston kind of got in his head in game three. And It was a collapse after that. I mean, they beat them so bad in game four that everybody even knew the Boston Celtics weren't trying. They knew Jaylen Brown had 10 points. He hadn't had 10 points the entire series, dude. So for me, it was like, okay, they're just trying to get home. You know what I mean? They want to go home and they want to win this thing at home. And so Dallas, I was disappointed in their performance. Offensively, they weren't the offensive team I'd seen through the Western Conference playoffs the entire time. Defensively, we knew who they were.
Yeah.
When it comes to Boston, Boston was who they should have been the entire time. They were who they should have been. They played worse against a weaker Eastern Conference opponents than they did in the NBA Finals. They played good against Miami. They played weak against Cleveland, and they played weak against Indiana for sure. Because Indiana probably could have gone 7 games. That was almost debatable that they could have took them 7 games. So Boston played the way they should have been playing the entire playoffs without those injuries. And yes, they had a cakewalk. It was a cakewalk. No Tyrese Haliburton, no Donovan Mitchell after game 2, and no Jimmy Butler at all, right? And everybody's like, a banged up Luka. Okay, but the dude still played every single game, and he still averaged almost 30. So
yeah, I was going to say, I won't give them the Luka excuse. I will not give them the Luka defense, because Luka, even though he was banged up, Luka was still dropping and playing at a high level. So I will not give the Luka pass.
So the Celtics did great. They executed game plan. Joe Mazzulla, West Virginia guy, executed his game plan. They did great. Dallas, this falls a little bit on Luka. A lot of this majority falls on Kyrie too. Kyrie's involved. I think Jason Kidd's involved in this too. Because Jason Kidd, as much as he's a coach, he's got to be a veteran. He's a veteran. He was a veteran player in the NBA. He knows, and he also knows what the big moments are like. And he needs to express that to somebody like Luka. And I hate to say it, Jason Kidd played the same position as Kyrie and Luka. And Kyrie's a champion. You have got to find a way to make Kyrie great. Even if Boston is getting your number, make Kyrie valuable in a way.
Well, that's my thing too, is Kyrie, you wouldn't have guessed Kyrie Irving was an NBA champion the way he played. What shocked me. I was the most shocked about, I mean, I knew Luka was going to do Luka. I mean, I know Luka's a defensive liability, but we know Luka was going to score. That's fine. That's great. We knew what Luka was going to do. If you would have told me Kyrie Irving would have played this bad in an NBA Finals when he's already been there, done that, won a ship, I would have called you a liar. Kyrie, to me, was the biggest disappointment in this series.
Yeah, and their role players weren't all that great either.
No. PJ Washington was a no-show.
Lively underperformed. I mean,
he's a rookie. I mean, that's the thing. I would put more blame on Derek Jones Jr. than I would Derek Lively.
Right. But I mean,
because Derek Lively, I mean, he was a rookie. I mean, I don't know what everyone expected from him. I'm like, I'm not surprised.
Everybody knew the Dallas Mavericks defensively didn't match well with Boston. Everybody knew that.
No.
Everybody knew Boston was going to defensively be better than them. But you know what everybody knew? Kyrie Irving and Luka are the best offensive duo in the league at the moment.
And Kyrie just.
And it was an absolute it was a disappointing NBA Finals, in my opinion. I was completely disappointed. I'm hoping for a better one next year. As of right now, it looks like Boston, if they keep the team together, they're gonna be hard to beat. I mean,
I want to see Boston play either Denver or I want to see Boston play the Timberwolves, because those are better matchups for sure.
I think the Nuggets are. Jokic just, like, I feel like, and I hate to say it here, right? Minnesota got lucky with getting out with that win against Denver. Because I think if you rematch that again next year, that doesn't happen. I think that Denver knocks them down next year.
The fact that Denver was up so big in that game.
And lost it so bad.
I'm like, dude, what is happening? Like, what is wrong with you? You're a former champion. You should not be choking on a big playoff game like that. But then Minnesota turns around and blows it.
So now the NBA Finals are over with, you know. NBA's done. We're kind of done till like October. We're done to October. Yeah. So the questions that are going to be, you know, coming up and going into next year is not if Boston can repeat, because I think they have, I think their percentage is kind of high on repeat.
Yeah.
But what is the Eastern, what are the other teams in the Eastern Conference going to do to respond, to try to make a response for next year? So I'm talking about, right, I'm talking about your cat. I'm talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm talking about the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm talking about the New York Knicks. I'm talking about the Miami Heat. Where's the return? Where's the come? Like, what are they going to do? And the Indiana Pacers. I can't leave them out. They're going to be in the running for next year.
The Pacers just need to be healthy. I think the Pacers are good where they're at. I think
they need experience.
I think the Pacers are fine where they're at.
Yeah.
I think the Sixers need to get rid of Harris, for one. Tobias Harris is trash. They need to get a small forward. They need to get a point guard. And they need to get a power forward that can shoot. Because Embiid has basically nothing.
Yeah, I do like Tyrese Maxey. I'm okay with them where he's at.
I like Maxey, don't get me wrong. That's why I said, besides Maxey and Embiid, they got nobody. They got nothing.
They don't run
James Harden. James Harden is complete crap.
He's not there. James Harden's he's the Clippers, dog. James Harden's with the Clippers. He's with Paul George.
Oh, yeah. And Kawhi, you're right. I don't know why I said – all right, never mind.
Yeah, well, he left after last year.
Well, James Harden was crap in Philly. Now he's crap in L.A., so he's still crap.
Yeah, I never thought I'll tell you what. When he was in Philly, though, he was a good distributor of the basketball.
I like James Harden.
His distribution of the game is, like, involved in that way.
But Philly needs a lot. Like, I think Philly just needs to get a full rebuild and just trade Joel Embiid to a contender.
Honestly, I don't even know if full rebuild, but I think you could. It's the same way I kind of feel about Miami, in a sense, right? I mean, like, I think, and I know a lot of people are going to say I'm wrong about this, but I think it's Miami's time to move on from Jimmy Butler. And I think it's their time to move on.
If the Miami Heat, and I'm going to say this 100% clear, I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm not saying you're right, but this is what's going to happen. If you take Jimmy Butler off the Miami Heat, that team's not going anywhere. They're trash.
No, I'm not saying.
Done.
I'm saying that I think it's time for rebuild, man, in Miami. I'm not saying that, you know, get rid of Jimmy Butler and, you know, we're going to go win. You know what I mean? Not that. I'm saying it's time. I think the Heat's run, you know what I mean, with this team they have put together right now, currently, this championship team run is over. I don't think they're going to get in there again. I just don't.
I 100% would take Jimmy Buckets in Cleveland. 100%. I wouldn't even hesitate. I would take Jimmy Buckets in Cleveland 100%. If the Heat were going to get rid of Jimmy Butler, I would totally. I would be coming to you tomorrow, be like, get Jimmy Buckets right now. I don't care.
Dude, I hate to say it, though. I would love for Philadelphia to make that return and go get him. Embiid back together.
Don't go back to Philly. No, ew. Don't go back to Philly. Not when they disrespected you. Gross.
But, yeah, so, anyway, outside the NBA, because it's over, and I am honestly excited for October to be starting to have these conversations, right? And in the off season, start to talk about, you know, what is going to happen.
I don't watch NBA regular season.
No, I don't either. But it is fun to, before we get into it, right? Right. I do like the build up talk to it. It's fun. I enjoy it. Same with the NFL and college football, right? I love the build up talk to the season. That is like prime playoff, and that is prime discussion we're talking about. So, all right. Well, the NBA has been concluded. Our Boston Celtics are the champions once again after 16 years, which now leads us to the final playoffs that is happening at this moment. We got the Stanley Cup Finals rolling on, and Connor McDavid is rolling on. Connor McDavid said, not so fast, Florida. Not so fast. We're not going home just yet. You thought I'm the best player in the NHL. Did you forget about me, dog? Did you forget about me? Is what he's saying to Florida. All that defense and all that team. He's also like this. Remember Dallas was the best team in the Western Conference. You know who eliminated them, right? You know, it's me, right? Connor McDavid. And dude, you see it, dude. The swag that is rolling on this man when he walks out of the locker room. Oh, he looked at those guys and goes, all the camera guys, oh, I just want you guys to get on that flight back to Edmonton. Going back to Edmonton, he said. How about that? So, I mean, like, I love – they were down 3-0. So, ladies and gentlemen, Edmonton match with Florida for the Stanley Cup Final. Florida dominated the first three games, really. And they stole –
it was bad.
It was bad. It was a beatdown. And so, Bobrovsky comes out in game four, and of course, Edmonton then slaughters Florida. I mean, it's not even
close,
right?
8-1.
So we went, okay, game five, it's over. Bobrovsky come back. They're going to go back to Florida. It's going to be at home. And, well, Connor McDavid had something to say about that. He had something to say. He made a statement. He goes, we're going back to Edmonton. And I'm going to say this right now. They win game six. Edmonton wins the series. Florida, I don't think Florida escapes on their home floor. I don't think Connor McDavid allows it.
Well, this is my thing, right?
This is Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors all over again.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I predicted. And I'm not going to lie. Florida, if you Panthers fans or players are watching this right now, take it from me, who's been around, you better end it tonight. You better end it in Edmonton. Because if you don't, you ain't hoisting the cup, and you're going to blow a 3-0 lead in a Stanley Cup final for the first time ever in Stanley Cup playoff history. You're going to lose.
You know what's even worse, though? Not only would you lose, you went to back-to-back titles and lost. You appeared in back-to-back titles and lost. And not only this, here's the other thing, Hunter. You got embarrassed last year on that floor by the Golden Knights. They embarrassed them. You lose. You're the first team ever to blow a 3-0 lead in any major league sport ever. You blow a 3-0 lead to the Edmonton Oilers. The embarrassment for Florida just runs through it, dude. I'm telling you. To go back-to-back, appeared twice in a row to get embarrassed. I don't know what the heck that is, by the way. What did you see that?
Yeah, I got balloons in the background.
I know, I put it like a peace sign and never have seen that before, by the way. Okay.
Didn't do it today.
No. Weird. Anyway, they go, you know, twice go back to back, right? To the title.
Yeah.
They get embarrassed by the Golden Knights and they lose. To be the first team ever to blow a 3-0 lead and lose to the Oilers, dude. The rampage of sports and the rampage of Florida fans. I can't imagine. The entire NHL fan bases are going to explode if they blow this series.
Well, I'm also going to give credit to Edmonton, right? Whether they win or lose,
Connor McDavid is the best player in the world. If they win, it's not even close.
Well, my thing is this. I'm not even that. I'm talking as like a series and a fan standpoint.
Yeah.
The fact that you were down 3-0 and you pushed this to 6 says a lot about Edmonton in itself. Because they should have been – I thought game 4 they would respond, blow out game 5. I thought they were going to lose game 5 and it'd be over in 5 games. Edmonton has pushed this series and made this a lengthy series. So, credit Edmonton.
Right. No matter what, we'll give them credit for that. But
yeah,
to do the unbelievable – right, and you have to win this. And I think Edmonton, you're on your home floor. You're the best on your home floor, right? They play their best game on their home floor. Don't play like you did in game 3. They cannot play like they did in game 3. All right, it's really over then.
No. I think Edmonton's going to come out like a house on fire. They're going to show up. And if Edmonton comes out and scores early, that's huge. That's just huge. That'll set the tone.
So, not only are we talking about, all right, so we talked about Edmonton and their expectations. Now, Florida, like I said, critical point, right? This is a critical point because they're going to feel comfortable because if they go to a game seven, it's on their home floor. The bad part is the Oilers have all the momentum coming into a game seven. They're going to be rolling. The Florida Panthers tonight are in their game six. They have to shut it down. They have to shut. The Oilers are running on so much momentum right now that their job is to eliminate the momentum. So if they got to get out early and score at least one or two goals quickly off the bat. Because if they do, they could act. They'll have Edmonton in their hands. Edmonton's going to they'll play panic game after that. Edmonton is going to play desperation if they get down. They get down 2-2, they're going to play desperation, and really Florida could play with that. The only person, Connor McDavid could, you know, save that part, right?
Yeah.
He could save it with the leadership part, but Edmonton's not going to want to go down 2-0 right off.
No.
You know,
they can't afford to.
It'll play right in Florida's favor. So the first period of this game is critical. The first period of this game is critical.
This is what it's all going to come down to. Which Bobrovsky is going to show up? That's it.
He's incredible, by the way. He really is. He's incredible.
I told you. That dude's a brick wall. He is so hard to score on.
I think what is Edmonton's goalie again?
Skinner.
I think Skinner has.
Yeah, he's.
I seen today. Skinner has one of the best percentages of non goals in closeout games. Like elimination game, when it's elimination line, he's one of the best in the league.
Yeah, he needs to be, because I'm telling you right now, first three games, that dude was trash.
That dude was awful. Like, I had never seen anybody play so bad. I was like, how did Edmonton even get here? Like, they're horrible. I mean,
he didn't do that bad in the other rounds, but the first three games of this Stanley Cup final, he was bad.
4-5, he's played great. 4-5, he's played great.
I don't blame a guy for giving up a tough goal, but when you give up slop, that's when I have an issue with my goaltender.
So you think about it, right? Every game that Skinner has been good in has been their elimination game.
Yeah. Pretty much.
They can win all four games if he plays exactly like he's been playing. Like, he plays, it's like the last game he'll ever play in the NHL. If he does that every single game, he'll be just fine. He was like the first three games, he's like, ugh. Man, I'll put all the energy in for that. We'll be all right. I mean, he's like this. Game four, he's like, I better try. I'm going to lose that money. I better get on that. I lose my money next year. I got to get on that.
Connor McDavid's going to beat my ass if I don't show up and play some hockey. You know?
Connor McDavid probably hit him with the freaking stick in the locker room. Game three, just beating the crap out of him for losing 8-1. He's like, how do you blow eight goals? He's just beating the crap out. How do you blow eight goals in a game, dog? You're horrible.
He probably couldn't take a skate to his neck. He's like, I'm going to cut you my skate. Look, you keep playing like this.
Bro, I'm going to tell you something. If Michael Jordan was a hockey player and he had a goalie that gave up eight goals, that guy never would play on that team again. I'm telling you. That'd never happen again.
Jordan be like, you're out. Get off the team. Go home. I don't care. I don't care if you walk home. I don't give a crap.
I can't remember the center that used to play for the Bulls. Man, I can't remember his name. But there's a funny story with the center that used to play for the Bulls. He had a good game once, like the first half, right? He had like 10 points. Yeah. The first quarter or something. He had like 12 points and like 8 rebounds, you know what I mean? And he was doing good for like a center, and he was doing really, really good. And Jordan complimented him, right, during the game.
Yeah.
That guy ended with the same amount of points and the same amount of rebounds and three more quarters later. Like, it was like, Jordan goes, I'm never giving you another compliment again. He goes, I'm never giving you another compliment. You didn't improve at all. You just quit. After I gave you a compliment, you just quit. And he's like, you just quit, dog. It's in The Last Dance. He talks about it in The Last Dance. I can't remember who it is. It's the center that played for the Bulls in the 95, 96, and 97 years. So
that's funny.
But he says that he's like, the guy was having an incredible game, like incredible start to the game. And he did jack all after that for like three quarters. He didn't do anything. If Jordan's like, I'm never giving you another compliment during a game. That's what he said. I'm never saying another word to you during a game.
That's funny.
Connor McDavid's probably like, I'm gonna stab you with my skate, Skinner, if you don't start getting goals blocked.
Do your job, bro.
Right? It's like, so for Edmonton and Florida.
That's tonight at 8.
I know you're picking the Oilers to win. I know it. I know you too well.
97, I trust.
For the hundreds of series that have been played through every playoff, every championship in any sport, to be down 3-0 and for it never to happen. Now, I'm torn because the odds of Edmonton pulling this off is slim to none. Just the same way we felt about Cleveland a couple years ago.
I will be impressed if Edmonton pushes it to 7 and loses. I'm okay with that. I will take that as a win.
I know. And but if I hate to say it, between me and you, right, in really thinking about it, Florida's going to win Game 6. Because if Florida loses this, the Oilers will win the series.
See, I don't think so. I think this gets pushed to 7, and I think Florida wins in 7. Just because Edmonton is going to be so gassed from these last three games, Florida's going to be like, oh, okay, now they're like worn out, now we're going to take advantage.
But here's the thing, though. I know you can say that. That's the same thing everybody thought about when Cleveland went to Game 7 against the Warriors. Nobody said Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are going to have three consecutive bad games, though.
Difference. Cleveland was down 3-1, not 3-0. We were only down 2 games.
I know that, but my point is...
Difference.
But here's the other difference, though, right? Here's the other difference. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving were the ones scoring all the damn points. So I mean... In the two games leading up to Game 7, they averaged like 40 apiece in both games. Dude.
Love dropped 20. Kevin Love dropped 20.
I know he didn't do fuck all in Game 7. He defended Curry on the last primary possession. That was his best moment.
My boy. I love Love.
But I think if they go back, here's the thing. You got to think about this for a second. If the Oilers go back to Florida and they tie this thing 3-3, you got the whole NHL world riding Edmonton except Florida fans because they're wanting to see the impossible happen. They want to see the impossible happen. It's not even about Connor McDavid winning. It's not even about – it's the fact that Edmonton's fans and the entire country of Canada, by the way, will be riding this coattail, and most of the fans here in the U.S. are going to ride this coattail to see the impossible happen. Let's be honest, bro. Nobody wanted to see – there was a lot of people that didn't outside of Cavs Nation. There's a lot of people that didn't want to see Cleveland win. But because the Cleveland Cavaliers drug it back from 3-1 and the impossible could happen, like, and everybody fucking loved it. Everybody loved it.
All right.
The momentum's going to be so with the Oilers, it's not even going to be funny.
I'm just taping for Game 7 at this point. I'm just taping for a Game 7.
So that's why so am I. But I think, for me, it's pivotal for Florida to win tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's no debate.
Is that all we got, you said?
Is that all we got?
We got the U.S. Open. I mean, the U.S. Open happened. Roy McIlroy.
Oh, come on. Don't make me talk about this.
Listen, I'll tell you what. So, Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open. Roy McIlroy played an incredible season. He really did. He played great. But Rory.
Don't tell me Rory played great. Don't tell me Rory played great.
He did.
Yeah.
Rory played great, but he missed two putts that were pivotal.
No. Rory did not play great. Rory choked. Let's just call it what it is.
He always does. He's a majors, bro. It's majors, dog. That's what he does.
I am so mad at him. I wanted to punch my TV. And this is golf. Okay? This is golf.
I got him in on golf. He likes this thing.
No, stop it. Stop. I am done with golf after what Rory did. I am so mad. I rooted for that little Irish bastard.
I was happy.
Two putts. Cost him everything.
So, listen, Rory is, I think he's made like 496 of those putts, and he's never missed them from that close. And it's his first two in his career he's missed. So I know from a mental standpoint, it's probably killing him, right? Because it is, and Rory's not golfing again until the Open and the Genesis Scottish Open. He's not golfing until then. He's taking a little bit of a break for the next couple weeks. He's sitting out. But this is good for live players right here. This is good for Bryson DeChambeau. This is good for he needed this. Live golfers, they need this. You know, PGA guys win it all the time. For the live guys to get it, it's something that needs. You got to think about it. A lot of your superstars that were in the PGA are now in live. There's a lot of them that are in live these days. So I mean, we got Wyndham Clark in the PGA. We got Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, you're big in Wyndham Clark. You're big names, right? The ones that everybody was always talking about.
In Liv?
No, in PGA. He's part of the PGA.
I was going to say.
Liv golfers, you got John Rahm. You got Brooks Koepka. You got Phil Mickelson. You've got Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that people love.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger's not in there. He's PGA.
I thought Tiger's the Liv guy.
No, he's PGA. No, Liv offered him $1 billion, and he said no. He turned it away.
Why?
He
walked away
because he said he don't need the money. He's already.
Someone offered me $1 billion to play golf and drink. I'd do it.
He's already got the money, dog. He already made that off from Nike, so he wasn't really worried about it. I mean, looking at it now, so like. It's good for the live golfers. They need wins in the PGA. And Bryson DeChambeau, I mean, he desperately needed a major win. He was desperately needing one. And that's good for him. He needs that. Fun fact for everybody, like I always tell everybody every time I talk about Bryson DeChambeau, because it is oddly strange. Only guy to have 3D printed clubs. I don't know whether that's cool or not, but I mean, he's the only guy who's got 3D printed clubs. So I don't know whether people actually care, but that's he does. And all his clubs are the same height. The only golfer in the entire world to have that.
You know, we're going to have a segment created. It's called Fun Facts with Cam.
Hey, listen, that's not so bad. Fun facts are not so bad. It is fun to talk about.
I don't care about the 3D printed clubs. I don't care.
Some people do, man. Some people care.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What does this segment come to?
That's what it is, man. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a whole bunch for us to really get into today. I mean, it's the NBA Finals is over, U.S. Open ended, and the NHL Finals is still running.
Now, July 1st, that's when we will talk about Wimbledon, baby.
The greatest Hunter will completely have a 5-minute segment on that. He will completely talk about it.
Love Wimbledon. That's right. Grab your rackets and balls. Tennis time.
So, outside of our normal spell, we'll just recap here at the moment, Hunter. Clash of the Castle. It was. Oh man! It was debatable. Jay Cargill, Che Gargill, and Bianca Belair losing the tag team championship. Hunter and I were in absolute disbelief.
It's on our TikTok channel. I was very unhappy. I was not okay. But
Cody Rhodes Cody Rhodes won the I Quit match,
which was. I mean, are you shocked? No, no one was because Cody's the man. Love him. SummerSlam, by the way, we are going to go live. I know I keep repeating it, but I'm so hyped and stoked. SummerSlam is going to be lit.
And then for our main event of Clash of Castle, Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. I'll tell you what, though. It was a relatively good fight. And Damian Priest about took off his leg. Damian Priest about took off his leg, dog.
Yeah, so, that was not part of the match. I actually researched that. That was not – no, he messed that up.
Yeah.
And he's lucky his leg did not, like, sprain or twist or even – and he's lucky he didn't tear something because that was bad. And his head bounced off the apron.
Right. So – and then, you know, Damian Priest almost took it, and then Drew McIntyre looked like he had it, and the ref got knocked, and then here comes CM Punk. The notorious CM Punk.
I told you who it was before they even showed his face. I knew exactly who it was. When I saw them red shoes, I told you who it was.
CM Punk ruined the day. And so, evolutionally, Damian Priest won again.
We're getting Punk and McIntyre at SummerSlam, dude. And let me tell you something. I am rooting for Drew. I am going to root for Drew McIntyre.
Following Clash of the Castle, we go to Raw. Drew McIntyre apparently quits.
Right.
Yeah, he supposedly quits.
We still got the
story of Liv and Dominic Mysterio rolling on.
That is stupid. We need to quit that. That's dumb. I don't give a crap. Like, I don't care.
Seth freaking Rollins returns to Raw, and is now facing Damian Priest at Money in the Bank for the heavyweight title, which is gonna.
Finn Balor's gonna cost him. Everyone, calm down. Finn Balor's gonna cost him.
You think Finn Balor's going to cost it?
Oh, yeah. Finn Balor's going to help Priest retain it. For sure. Because Balor hates Rollins.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I mean.
And then we're going to have Cody versus Randy at SummerSlam.
Yes, but we are going to have. Me and you are predicting the ladder match for Money in the Bank.
Oh. Tough one. Tiffany Stratton's going to win the women's.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Man, I don't know this.
I know who I want to win the men's, but like, okay, so let's. If Finn Balor somehow gets in the Money in the Bank ladder match, I think Finn Balor wins. Now, who I want to win is completely different because I'm with Yeet Nation. I want Jay to win this.
That's made up by Jey Uso in the house.
I want Jay to win it, but if Balor gets in, I'm going to be like, oh, damn. I'm torn.
No, I want made up by Jey Uso.
But I also would like Kevin Owens. If Kevin Owens gets in after SmackDown tonight,
that would be my pick.
I love KO. Always have. Always will. I love KO.
Because I know for a fact, right, and I think it's going to happen, the SmackDown after Money in the Bank is when we are going to see Randy Orton turn.
And as soon as Money in the Bank's over, the calendars are going to get X'd. Just X, 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 X all the way to SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
I am not going to lie. I am going to be a lot of things. A lot of emotions are going to hit me at once, but it's going to be dope.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
And we're singing Cody Rhodes' song, You Best Believe.
Ladies and gentlemen, new special episode coming out next week. The open for UFC 303.
Nope.
The UFC, you do that by UFC by series is arrived.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Nope. I'm
He's
out.
Doing it.
Nope.
He's mad because of Conor McGregor. He's mad at Conor McGregor. That's why he didn't want to do it. That's why he didn't want to do it.
Boycotting that shit. No thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. No. July. Mid-July. We also have another special coming out. Gotta get that recorded.
We talked about this. Don't you? No, we are not doing the LeBron thing.
Yes, we are.
Oh, my God. I'm going to. No. Yes. No, absolutely. No.
Yes.
You better give me a soundproof
box. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to know how many of you think LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. I just want to know. We're going to try to put a compelling argument to maybe why LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
I have to know.
You quit it. You're trying to start a holy war is what you're trying to do. You're trying to start a war.
Because if people say to me LeBron James is the greatest player I've ever watched, okay, that's fair. That's fair. Because I hate to say it, and I will say it from my own point of view, LeBron James is the greatest player I've ever seen actually on TV. Like for me watching the game, I get it. You know what I mean? So I get what why people, because they can't believe it's somebody better than LeBron, even though he's number 23 in Chicago, but
he's the true 23.
Yeah, but well, LeBron James, Hunter special man.
No, we are not doing that. I'm gonna break something.
The decision.
You want me to have a heart attack on YouTube? Is that what you want? You want me to have a stroke? I'm going to.
The decision.
We ain't, no.
And then, listen, not only that, ladies and gentlemen, is Steph Curry better than LeBron? That's the next question.
Really? We're going to do this now? Really?
Well, because he has beaten LeBron in 3 out of his 4 rings. So it's debatable. Remember what we always said. If you lose to the other guy. Okay.
I can't believe you're going to make me defend his ass. I can't believe you actually going to make me defend LeBron freaking James right now. But I'm going to. Ken, this is for you.
Cut it off. Keep that for the decision. We got that episode. The special.
The fact I have to defend his ass is really making me mad.
Nope. Don't say anything. I do want to do this. It's going to be really fun, and it'll be a lot more exciting than you actually think. He does not want to do this, but to do it, it'd be fun.
You're going to make me defend the man who broke my heart twice. You're going to make me defend his ass. Okay, he won me a championship. I'll defend him one time, and then I'm done.
Oh, man, there's a lot of NBA debates we could get into with just LeBron James.
Me and him are even. We're square. We're done. Even. Bye.
See, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of debates for the things in the NBA that Hunter and I can, you know, get into. That Shaq is not the best center ever. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's not even close. I mean, Kareem is the best center to ever live. It's not even close.
Look at me right here.
He's the best center. Let me tell you something. 6 titles, Shaq. Dog. 6 times.
Listen to me for a second. 7'1", 360 pounds. He's eating Kareem for breakfast. You understand me? He's eating his tall, lengthy ass like a freaking candy bar. All right, like a Twizzler.
Okay, answer this then. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won 3 national championships. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won 6 NBA championships. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has the most unstoppable move in all of basketball, the Skyhook.
Did he go against Shaq? I guarantee you, Shaq's swatting him like a SWAT team. Guaranteed. 360 pounds, 7'1", he's going to move Shaq. No.
Guess what center did go against Shaq, and he whipped his ass, by the way. That'd be Hakeem Olajuwon. The dream whipped him in a finals, by the way. Hakeem Olajuwon. And he ain't even close to being as good as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So, a prime Kareem now. No, Shaq is top 3. He is not the best. So.
Okay. I'm Mad Dog. All right, I'm gonna start calling you Mad Dog because that's who you sound like right now.
Why?
You give me Lakers Shaq, I will put him against any center in the NBA. Past, present, I don't give a
you
crap.
You give me prime Lakers Kareem. I'll take anybody against him.
Okay. I hope he can move Shaq. He can move Shaq, because I'm telling you right now, he ain't. His tall, skinny ass ain't going to move Shaq. I love Kareem, but he ain't moving Shaq.
Shaq is not better than Kareem.
Oh, my God.
And I hate to say it, ladies and gentlemen, because I will be the one to say it.
Shaq's not the most dominant center ever.
The 2001 Lakers would not beat the 85 Lakers. The 85 Lakers would beat them. That is Magic Johnson. That is James Worthy. That is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kobe Bryant and Shaq are not beating them. The greatest center and the greatest point guard are on the same team.
So,
with MVP Worthy and Byron Scott.
So Rick Fox, we're just gonna exclude him from this?
Yeah, we got Byron Scott.
Okay. So Derek Fisher doesn't count. We gonna exclude Fisher? Who was the most underrated point guard ever to play this game? Are we just going to exclude? Okay. And so we're just going to exclude these two guys.
Yeah, they're not better than Byron Scott. He was with Magic.
Rick Fox isn't better than Byron Scott?
Hell no. Byron Scott and Magic Johnson are one of the best duos in history. What are you talking about?
Okay, so Rick.
You also have MVP level worth James Worthy on that team, by the way.
James Worthy or Kobe Bryant?
I mean, is Magic Johnson or Kobe Bryant?
You want me to answer that truthfully?
Magic Johnson's the greatest point guard to ever live.
Magic Johnson couldn't score though. Kobe scores.
Magic Johnson played five positions in an NBA Finals and won.
Okay, this is exactly the type of thing that Kobe went against when he went against Rondo, when he went against Paul Pierce, when he against Ray Allen, when he went to Kevin Garnett and Kendrick Perkins. 5-on-1, and guess what he did?
Mind you this. I want you to listen. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got hurt in the NBA Finals. Magic Johnson, for four straight quarters, played all five positions and scored 30-plus points. He had over 10 assists, and he averaged a complete triple-double in that game. Kobe Bryant had Shaq the whole time. He had Pau Gasol the whole time, dog.
You were not comparing Pau Gasol to Shaq.
Pau Gasol was his other running mate. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I was about to say that.
Pau Gasol played in all six, seven games in this series.
You're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine. But I am not. I don't care who you are. I am not taking Shaq. I will take Shaq over anybody. I don't care. 7'1", 360.
Are we talking about center position or overall player? Like, are you like? Because if you're saying that you would take Shaq over LeBron, you're high. If you take Shaq over Michael Jordan, you're insane.
But I'm taking Shaq. I'm talking center position. Shaq to me is the best center ever.
I'm just glad we agree on the power forward position. We mean you completely agree on that.
Tim Duncan.
And next. Then it's Dirk and KG. I think they're tied.
Yeah.
I think they're tied. They both have one title.
Small forward, the only other person you can say outside the bronze, Larry Bird.
Oh, man, Larry Bird is, he's incredible. I mean, but there's been so many good small forwards throughout NBA history.
Shooting guard, it's not even close. It's MJ, obviously. Michael Jordan.
Well, as you guys are my top three in shooting guard, people might disagree here, but
it's Kobe, Jordan, and Wade.
But not Kobe first, Jordan first.
Yeah, you got Jordan, Kobe, and Wade. There's no other argument. Like, I don't understand. Who are you going to put over Dwayne Wade?
And then, you're right, And point guard, we have Magic and Steph, pretty much. That's the argument right there.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking Magic.
Yeah, I mean, I think – I love Steph, but Magic Johnson, 9 NBA Finals appearances, probably the greatest – I mean, the greatest – he was so great distributing the basketball. He was a good scorer. And overall, Magic Johnson was just special, and there's nothing better than that. So, listen, I'm going to get off here, Hunter and I.
Yeah.
This has been fun, but this NBA talk is – it needs to be saved for another day. You know what I mean? This needs to be saved.
We ain't doing this special about LeBron.
The decision will be here.
No.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to be drinking. I can't do this without an alcoholic beverage or some nicotine. That's not happening.
Listen, we should get. Listen, your dad should get involved with our topics, bro.
No,
like we.
No. I will have a heart attack and a stroke at the same time. I'll have a heart attack. Artichoke.
I think me and you could agree we're not taking Hakeem over Shaq.
we ain't taking Paul Pierce over D Wade either.
I couldn't believe that was no. I can't take Paul Pierce.
You're biased Celtic fan, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in and
like subscribe,
and we'll see y'all next week.
See you guys. Take on the world.